A few things up front here that you may want to pay attention to. Over to my left are some DVDs that were done by Joe Martin on creation, and they are really, really well done. And you can do some small video clips of just about 5 to 7 minutes, or you can watch an entire DVD. And generally, he's going to go through about 5 animals on a DVD. Some of them are a little bit different. I haven't seen a couple of these on Life Story, and so I don't know exactly how they're done. And I also talked in Sunday school or in the morning early service about the James chapter 1 verses that Barlett put here, and you put together like a puzzle. And so I worked on those the other day. I said I got 2 verses switched. But anyway, there's the references are on the back. You try to put them in the right order in James 1 without looking at the references on the back. And so that's a challenging thing. Today is Linda's birthday. We've been talking about sending her cards. Now, we will not give out her cell phone number, but if you already have it, you may want to text her. And I texted her earlier this morning. I was thinking of her on her birthday, even though I know it's a very difficult day for her. Please continue to pray, if you would, for her and her recovery. She is not going to be going to rehab because it's not a rehab situation. So if you would, please be in prayer for Sister Linda during this time. A couple other things just really quickly to catch us up. There is a senior luncheon next week. It's our typical luncheon that we used to do, but this is just for the seniors. It's an emphasis on them and ministering to them. And we have about 20 that are coming at this point. Pastor Terry will ask for a raise of hands again in the next hour. Hope Baptist is now without an official pastor, and we are trying to do what we can to help them, which will include, if we can, find someone in the body of Christ here who's willing to serve the Lord and that church by helping them with their finances, just using QuickBooks. And Pastor Foster thought it'd be about 2 hours at the most a month. And so if you'd be willing to say, hey, I'm willing to serve the Lord in that way, maybe you don't know a lot about finances, but you'd have the ability to probably at least put it into a structure, kind of like an Excel page and stuff like that, please let me know. Also, one of the men of their church would like to work alongside, and that way he learns and you can learn together. You don't have to do it on your own. So we also are going to help provide some piano players and some men to preach. Some of the Sunday evenings and all that will begin in March. And so if you're willing to consider some of those things, please let me know. Turn with me to your Bible right to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We're looking at truths and errors about the origin of the world. A sad truth is that some are trying to blend the two things together instead of refusing to believe some of the, I was going to say the truths, but that's not true. Some of the theories about evolution, they're trying to blend that with the truths of God's Word. By the way, be really careful. You're trying to read out of God's what's there, not read into God's Word what isn't. We can't assume to know things that aren't given to us by God Himself. Someone has described it this way. Now, they were at that point talking about the doctrine of Calvinism, but they said, you know, it's kind of like talking about a tree. You know, just picture a tree in your mind. You can talk about all kinds of things about that tree all the way down to the ground, but without the roots being exposed, you don't know anything about the roots. You don't know which direction they're going. You don't know how many there are. You don't know how big they are. So you can only discuss everything you can see. And so that's what we need to do with Bible truth. There are sometimes things we like to discuss. That's an intriguing thing about the human mind, I guess. Sometimes we like to talk about things that we really aren't sure about because we just don't have that truth made known to us. And so really be careful about that. Sometimes there are theories that are blending evolutionary ideas with biblical truths. And they're actually not being presented by unbelievers, but being presented by believers. And that's what makes it so deceptive for us. We become comfortable reading some of their books. We become comfortable with hearing that they actually put a Bible together with Bible notes. And so we think, wow, they must be right on everything. Can I announce something to you? None of us are right on everything. You might think you are, but you're not, and neither am I. Sometimes I see, you know, if you don't believe everything I preach, it's okay, I don't believe it all either. I do believe what I preach, but sometimes I debate with myself. I remember actually studying the theology and the doctrine of election. And I think in that nearly 150-hour study, I forget, I think I studied it about 150 hours, I changed my position, I think, three times. And not hard, but you think, no, I think this is right. No, I think that's right. No, I'm, you know. And so, again, none of us are right all the time. So we need to align ourselves as closely as we can with God's Word. Today I'm going to talk about two of those theories. One, I'm going to finish up our discussion on the gap theory and then talk about the day-age theory. Let's go to the Father and ask Him for help. Dear Father, we now come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand Your truths. Help us to get out of Your Word what is there. Help us not to spend a lot of time discussing what isn't there. Father, help us not as individuals, and I pray this for those who are listening and before me now, help none of us to get caught up in huge discussions over things that You've never discussed. Father, kind of a Deuteronomy 29:29 principle. And so guide us into Your truth. Help us not to become enamored with just theories that are being presented about Your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I said to turn to Genesis chapter 1, but in my prayer I mentioned Deuteronomy 29. So if you would, turn there with me briefly. I keep your hand there, Genesis 1. We're going right back to it. But look what it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, an easy verse reference to remember. Where it says, the secret things belong unto who? The Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So He gives to us a truth. There are secret things. Just like the mystery that God would reveal gradually in the New Testament, the mystery regarding the church, there are secret things, and they belong unto the Lord, but there are things that He has revealed. Well, the question is, has He revealed to us a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2? If you would, look there at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there has been this view presented, is God created everything. God created a heaven and earth. They would usually say that it was without mankind, but everything else was created that was needed. When it goes into verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, they come to this conclusion, okay, God created everything, but it then fell apart. It was then destroyed. It's now without form and void. And so they're going to say there's a gap between. Now there are truth, that is a truth throughout Scripture that you might get to one chapter, and then by the time the next chapter begins, there's a 10-year gap in there. As you're reading one of the books of your Bible, I'm not going to give you this, maybe you want to look it up later, but as you're reading one of the books of the Bible, there's actually a gap where a whole other book of the Bible is written right in there before actually the rest of the book goes on. That's in the Old Testament. You might want to look up that later. But anyway, so there are gaps, but is there a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and then how big's the gap? Now, the question is, why would they put a gap there? And I believe the answer is this, because there have been theories thrown out there regarding evolution that they can't answer, and some of that's the fossils that they are saying that are billions and billions of years old. So there are some theologians, there are some that are studying God's Word that would say between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, there's billions of years. That sounds evolutionary, doesn't it? By the way, what's the evidence? Again, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but they which are revealed, has there been any revelation that there's billions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2? The answer to that is no. There's no Bible verse. What we need to do is search the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. The Bible talks about that in the book of Acts. That be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures. And you ought to do that every time I teach or preach. Don't just accept it because I said it. You ought to make sure that what I am saying is in line with the Word of God. The Bible itself even says with much words, there's going to become some errors. And sometimes even just a misspoken. I remember one time I used a phrase, I meant to use the phrase, I think it was regarding the day star, and I used the one that was a reference one time to Satan and not Christ, as one of the names of Christ. And it was just a mere slip of the tongue. It wasn't a purposeful change there. But again, with a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And so we need to make sure that there are Scriptures at least teaching that there is a gap here that could actually be billions of years, and there was a previous world that was ultimately destroyed that God then recreated. So they are going to say that Genesis 1 is really a recreation of the heaven and earth that was first created billions of years ago, and it has since been destroyed. Again, search the Scriptures, make sure of those things. I gave some solid evidence that that is not true. Let's just look at one of them, and we need to move forward. Look in Exodus chapter 20, and I'm just going to show you one of the verses. I could start in verse 8. I could read to verse number 11. I'm just going to read verse 11. Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to see verse number 11. For in 6 days, I apologize, I hear some turning of the pages yet, and I'm starting to read. I shouldn't do that. In 6 days, the Lord made what? Remember, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. See, I believe what Genesis 1:1 is really kind of like an introduction to what this chapter is about. God creating the heaven and the earth, and how He did it. And then He goes on to describe how it was done. And in chapter number 2, it's just kind of talking about it again, and he mentions that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1. So, in 6 days, the Lord God made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. So, he's saying that heaven and earth, which is now without form and void, and some were saying being reconstructed, remodeled. That's not true that there's a gap in there of billions of years, because he said this all happened in 6 days. By the way, well, no, that's in a day-age theory. I don't want to cross my theories. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. One lady got on to C.H. Spurgeon for his humor in a sermon. C.H. Spurgeon actually had a very intelligent man, and a lot of his writings don't bring this out, but he was a very humorous man. And one lady objected to his humor, and he said, "Ma'am, if you only knew of all the funny things I thought of while I was preaching that I didn't say, it would really offend you." And so a lot of things come into your mind, even in preaching and teaching, that you've got to sort out, do I want to go there or not? And I'm not going to go there yet on that idea of the day-age theory. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's just begin in verse number 5. "And this they willingly are ignorant of, that by," here's what they're willingly ignorant of, "that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. So God created this heaven and the earth. There wasn't the form. There wasn't the form given to it. And so God is going to give that form, and that form is going to continue on until the day of fire. And the Bible teaches us that there will be this world will be destroyed, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Again, if you believe in evolution has created this world, then who's going to create the next world? Who's going to create the heaven and the earth? If it's a big bang that created this heaven and this earth, who's going to create the next one? And again, we believe that God has created the first heaven and earth, and God will create the second. I don't really have time to go into it, but in Romans chapter 1, again, God said that he had given them a knowledge about himself through creation. God reveals himself in several ways. What is one of them? What's one? One way God reveals himself. Becky? Okay, through creation or through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. Where's that found? Psalm 19, great passage of Scripture. First six verses are about one kind of revelation. The last eight verses are about another kind of revelation. Mom, you had your hand up. She was going to say the same. What's another way that God reveals who he is, what he's like? Okay, Brother Jim? Through his word. And that's what Revelation 19 goes on to say, talking about the word of God, and gives it different analogies. So he reveals himself through creation, through his word. What's another way? Through his spirit. Brother Bob? Through his son. So there are a number of ways that God reveals himself to mankind. And again, in Romans chapter 1, he says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Dear friend, I want you to know, no one becomes an evolutionist without rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, it may not be a permanent rejection. This gentleman here that did these DVDs was on Air Force One, was the dentist to the president, was a teacher in a college and taught evolution, and was challenged by one of his Bible students to read creation and disprove it. And as he's reading creation, God revealed himself to him, and he becomes a child of God, and now travels the country with his family teaching on creation. Praise the Lord. While he did at one point reject all of that and became vain in his imagination, and to some degree his foolish heart was darkened, as God began to prick his heart, he turned to Jesus Christ and believed. And so we then, he gives them over then to ultimately, if they keep rejecting, to uncleanness, to further uncleanness, and then to a reprobate mind. I remember meeting with someone and talking to them, and they said, you know what, I am that person who's now given over to a reprobate mind. They began to weep. I tried to plead with them about salvation. Ultimately, I don't ever know that they came to a knowledge of Jesus Christ the Lord. And so again, creation is one of those pivotal topics. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. The biggest argument I have ultimately against the gap theory is, how do you put death before Adam? Because everything God created was very good. One man's argument is this: well, death was obviously there before Adam because they ate the plants, didn't they? Well, I guess he knows very little about how you eat plants and how they continue to survive. I mean, you have herbs and you don't kill the entire plant to have part of the herbs, and you don't cut down the apple tree just to eat the apples. God has created these things that they can be eaten and continue to grow. You mow your lawn, the yard doesn't die. Well, depending on the weather, maybe. But you mow the yard, the grass doesn't die. What happened? It continues to grow, correct? So there was no death before Adam and Eve. And it's through, God teaches that through their disobedience then came death. What you would be doing is believing that there was death before there was Adam. And then that is not a biblical truth. In fact, I was talking to Brother Davis. I hope you don't mind that I mentioned this. But he kind of believed in the gap theory until he was challenged with a tremendous theologian in college. And I think that was one of the key points for him that brought him to that. That can't be true. The gap theory cannot be true. Again, sometimes the intellectuals want to jump onto this bandwagon. And the intellectuals, I can kind of pick on them because I don't think it's any of us. No offense. No offense. I'm just kidding. That was totally in jest. But the intellectuals, depending on some of these schools, love discussing more about what there's no evidence to than what there is evidence to. The intellectuals really like talking about what's under the ground that we can't see. And so we need to really be careful about that. So the gap theory was this, between either, and some have now changed it, but between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, or Genesis 1:2 and Genesis 1:3, there was a gap. The gap was probably billions of years, and God had created things that all died, and so he had to recreate it. I just reject that theory. I don't find it in the Bible at all. I think you're reading into it, even into the passage of 2 Peter chapter 3. I believe it's reading into that passage what isn't there and not reading out of it what is. And so let's continue to teach from these passages what they are teaching. Does anybody have a question? I'll maybe answer a question or two or defer the question to someone brighter than I if I can't answer it. Anyone, you have a question or even a comment about that? Amanda. Correct, yeah. They just totally want to dismiss biblical truths as a basis for what we believe. Brother Tim?
The only gap I see is the amount of time from creation to fall. We have the amount of years that Adam lived, but do you consider his life from when he was created or from when he fell?
Yeah, and that's an interesting topic. I've tried to research that some, and again, you can't find a lot of evidence. I don't think the time was very long between his creation and his fall due to just the dating we have in Scripture. But there are periods like that. We really just don't know how long they are. But I'm sure Brother Tim nor any of us would believe there's billions of years in there either. But some, again, that's a difficult thing sometimes, the time, how old someone is or how much time there was between the actual creation of Adam and his fall. And even specifically where the fall of Satan comes in. Most would say it is between the creation of Adam when everything was good and the fall of Adam. And in that period of time was then the disobedience of Satan when he wanted to be like the Most High God. Someone else had their hand up back there. Pastor Terry, and then I'll go to Becky. Yeah. Good, good. And the fact that God is timeless. Excellent. Becky. Yeah, correct. And that is, by the way, that is how we try to date things. I say we, collectively in Bible studies. you try to date things is by just working with the factual dates that are given. I have several books that, and one of them, I think maybe it was from Job Martin. I have one of them from either Kent Hovind or Ken Ham, one of them, that does a lot of that dating. We also have the date in which the Jews say the beginning of the world was, and which was 3760 or something like that, B.C. I forget exactly, but again, they're using the dating of the Old Testament and the factual times of when so-and-so, and he begat so-and-so at this age, and so-and-so lived this long. And they're just, I mean, they're, some of you don't like math, so you would hate that, but they're meticulously working with all of that and almost working backwards. And of course, you take the genealogy of Christ, where there's 14 generations to this, and there are three sets, I believe, of 14 generations, if I remember correctly, and using a lot of that genealogy work to date it. And so, correct, we can't be exact, but we can get pretty close within the ballpark there. So, Brother Tim? Yeah, no, the one verse, I won't remember the verse right now, but talks about both Adam and Eve being created. So mankind was created. So I believe it was in the period of that sixth day that she was. But again, where it was, someone's, you know, again, I'm trying to read both sides and reading what they're saying. And someone said, well, it's very obvious you can't do all that in one day. Well, yes, you can. I mean, they're thinking of naming all the animals as in every kind of species we have today. And we have to recognize, you know, it's not like naming every kind of dog there is today. None of us could do that. There are so many different types of dogs today. But when you go back to the basics, okay, there was a dog. Mom dog and pop dog, okay? And throughout time, there's going to be variations then and multiple differences of species. So again, we can boggle our mind. It really goes back to faith. God said it, and God said it happened in this period of time. We either believe it or doubt it. And while I maybe can't figure it all out and tell you exactly how it happened, I believe it. And God said it, I believe it, and I'm settled with that. So let's go on to the day-age theory. This is, again, another theory that has been presented. We only have 8 minutes left. So anyway, what is the day-age theory in general? Just not a long explanation of it, but when I say day-age theory, what do I mean by that? Amanda? Yes, but yes and no. Yes, basically yes, but some would debate the 1,000 years. Some would say that may be 1 billion years. So the day-age theory, she is correct. It's just a variation of what some may say. Pastor Terry's already alluded to the verse from Peter, the day is 1,000 years. And so some are going to say, okay, then one day was 1,000 years. Some are going to say it could have been 1 billion years. And some do not want to put a parameter on how long that day was. But basically, the day was an age of time, not merely a moment in time. Turn back with me if you would. You're in 2 Peter. Are you still there? 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's do this. Again, we're going to try to look for some biblical evidence. They are reading out of this 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as, okay, it's like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, to give a little bit further illustration, understanding that, and just like Pastor Terry says, we've got to read it in its context, look at verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, So they don't fully understand, so they're going to wrestle with some things, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So sometimes they're going to take scriptures and wrestle with them, twist them, make them to say things they don't truly say. And I believe that's actually what is happening here in verse number 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3, where they're saying that a day is 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is a day. No, it's saying it's like that. So what is that verse realistically saying? What is it telling us about God? Can you boil it down to that? Who would be able to concise it down to that? Brother Tim. Excellent way to put it. God exists outside of space and time. Is ultimately that is what it is teaching. Because here, reading it again, the point we're getting at, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And he's saying God is timeless. Turn back with me now to Genesis chapter 1. I think I want to go there. Yeah, let's go there. By the way, how do you have 1,000 years without having days? That's a question I have. I haven't found that anywhere, but that was my question. Sometimes as I'm meditating on this, okay, so how many days are in that 1,000 years? Wait a second, I thought each day was 1,000 years. How does that multiply out? So every day then would be billions of years if you're going to multiply that out the way it is. Also, the Lord created time. That was part of what he created. So you couldn't have time before God created time. And so God created days and seasons and years, months and years. So you can't have 1,000 years as one day before God created time in the way that they are stating it. Also notice just the worst usage of the word day. When we speak of day, in how many ways can day be used? Give me one example of how, if we talk about a day, in what ways can we use it? There are several ways it can be used. What's one way we can use it? I hear mumblings and groanings and complaining. Becky? Yep. Or what's that? You could talk about somebody's days, speaking of their entire lifetime. You could speak of a 24-hour period of time. Amanda? Excellent example. Tremendous example. In the day of, talking about the years that this king ruled. So that was different, depending on how long that king ruled. Brother Doug? Day of the Lord. Speaking of... kind of like with the Lord's hour was not yet come. Even that was used to speak of an event and a season or a time period, but not specific. And the day of the Lord would be similar to the hour of the Lord. The day of the Lord, he's going to so come. That we would also speak of the day, maybe, I work during the day. And we're basically talking about while the sun is up. So it can be used in that reference. Well, look here at the Word of God, and even how it is used collectively. Look at verse number 5. And God called the light day, capital D actually here, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Do you see how he used it in two ways here in the same verse? God called the light what? And God called the evening and the morning. So he calls it day. He uses the word day in two different ways, just in the same verse. So I thought that was interesting because I had never heard that taught. I was just reading and trying to absorb. And then look down at verse number 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Again, using the same word, day. By the way, identical Hebrew word. So it's not a different Hebrew word. Identical Hebrew word for both a daylight and a day period, and then also speaking for days and for years. Look at verse number 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Wow, what a statement that is. I remember several talking about that. What a tremendous statement. Look at chapter 2. Again, what we are doing is we are not trying to read into God's word. We're trying to read out of it. These are the These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God had made the earth. And so now I'm speaking of 6 days and calling it a day. I need to stop there. But we need to understand that when God is specific in saying the evening and the morning were the first day, the evening and the morning were the second day, He is not just talking about ages of time. He is talking about 24-hour periods. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank You for Your word. May we not try to add our thoughts into it and our theology into Your theology. May we read out of it what You have and look forward to doing so more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next.